The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Tuesday, 26th of July, 2011. Do I have Bobby Chapman here already? No, not yet. And Robbie's taking a dip in the pool. That's what I heard. Down in Baja, California. At any rate, before these gentlemen join us, I can sneak this news story in. Ah, oh, man. You thought the postal workers, the service was lousy at your post office? Well, you may not have to worry about it anymore, because yours might be one of the 3,653 post offices that are going to be shut down. Now, my wife was telling me, I'm going to get more information on this, but apparently there was retirement funds and kind of a slush fund for the United States Post Office. See, these folks are not running a deficit. The government come in and stole their funds. I think she said about $100 or $125 billion. Yeah. Well, the U.S. Postal Service is expected to announce a plan to close 3,600, as I said, plus post offices, mostly in small communities. And it's just a cost-cutting measure. The USPS spokeswoman, I got to be 21st century politically correct here, said the post offices were chosen because they get the least amount of foot traffic and retail sales. They were also selected because there may be local businesses that could provide some postal services to the community. Now, this is according to Sue Brennan. On a list of the closures amounting to about 11%, of the United States Postal Service's post offices nationwide will be made public Tuesday by Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe. The Postal Regulatory Commission would have to approve the widespread closing as the USPS prepares to file a request for a national charge or change, rather, of service. I don't know exactly what that means. I just love government doublespeak. Just when you think you know what you heard, that's not what they meant at all. Donahoe will also announce a replacement strategy involving third-party retailers. Oh, you to the drugstores. Probably. You ever notice in this country you have like CVS on one corner and then Walgreens on the other? What the hell? I mean, are they that competitive for each other's business that they can't put it across town? Oh, that's right. They got a Walgreens and a CVS across town on the opposite corners as well. Well, here's the message from them. If you're a community and there is a local convenience store, for example, we might be reaching out to those organizations. Not an organization, it's a business, just like you are, Ms. Brennan. You are a corporation and you're reaching out to other corporations. Let's take the veil of idiocy off of this and just speak truth, which would be a novel thing for anybody in government. We'll be back with Robert Chapman, and Mr. Noel, I'm sure, is out of the pool by now. Hopefully he didn't stop by the bar.
The new Go Berkey kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right. Mr. Robert Chapman. Come in, Mr. Chapman.
I am here.
And I am over here. Where is Robbie?
He's probably on the beach.
Oh, no, I'm here.
You took a quick dip, did you not?
Yes, I did.
And
but he dipped in Pacifico or Seoul.
You know, Robbie, I hope you're happy with the weather down there. What's the temperature out there?
It's in the 90s, but the humidity is the killer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's humid.
So it's like being in Houston.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. I would imagine.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks, I've never seen anything like this down here in Texas. Well, Sandra, what have they been saying here? What have they been saying about the weather? This is the worst drought we've had ever, or what? Getting close to it. This is amazing. We've had 104, 105 degree temperatures and no rain in sight. We have had high pressure, and they're trying to chalk this up to El Nino or the lack of it or because of it or something. But we've got high pressure parked right over Texas, and we can't catch a drop. Nothing. So you went, Robbie, from Arizona that you get 110, 115.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah.
And I swear a dry heat is different to humidity. I mean, humidity is a killer.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, I was just going to say 115 degrees with no humidity versus I'd much rather have 115 with no humidity than 90% with humidity. That's like sitting on a beach down in Miami or something.
Yeah, well, you just feel sticky all the time.
Yeah.
And it's very uncomfortable.
So when do you get a break in the weather? Is it like is it like Texas?
According to the locals, October.
Really?
Yeah.
See, in Texas, we only have two seasons, hot and hotter. Well, actually, that's not true. Our winter's usually 45 to 60 degrees during the coldest, darkest, dankest days of winter. Robert Chapman. Hey, bud, what's going on?
Well, I think we're seeing some exciting things happen. People in Congress talking about impeaching the president and two political parties that can't get together on a budget, a debt extension.
Mm.
And then we have a bailout plan for Greece that hasn't been completed yet in Europe. And I think everybody's over there is starting to find out if this bailout is not going to be as easy as they thought it would be. And I think everybody's got a lot of trouble.
Well, and this is kind of a, Robbie, I wanted to bring something up to you. Because you've been on this network, hell, since we started. And you're real familiar with what's going on, and you don't have to stick your finger in the wind to check out the politics and which way things are blowing. I've noticed something rather strange. Now, I know that we're creeping into that depression out of deep recession. The government will not admit we've got depression-like levels, but it's the debt that's choking us, and we saw the rigging of the financial scammers out there and what they did with this. And that's not to take the responsibility off the federal government of continuing to borrow, expand. I think a lot of people are under the impression here that the United States is trying to build an empire like Rome once did or England once did. And I don't think that's the case. I think this whole spending, putting our troops and bases all over the planet, has to do more with extending the debt and, you know, basically smothering us. What's your
Well, I mean, the military-industrial complex is responsible for keeping millions of Americans employed.
That is true.
And I think the only major visceral challenge to Obama's speech last night came from the Pentagon, which were horrified by his announcements of cuts in the Pentagon budget.
You don't say. You know, I've been watching this. Bob, what have you, you know, aside from positioning and playing politics in Washington, you know, I've seen conflicting stories, and I've listened to the Congress critters with intent interest, and the more I listen to them, the more confused I get. Now, both sides were saying a deal was on the table this past Sunday, and Obama didn't like it. Now, but ironically, it was the Republicans that said, you know, no new taxes, we're not going to do any new taxes, but they're going to raise the debt limit and then offset that with what?
Well, supposedly cuts in expenditures, but
by
raising,
you're cutting.
Happen.
Is this Orwellville? I mean, 2011. You're going to reduce.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. You know, and one of the reasons why they may be tinkering with the system here is to give Treasury and the Federal Reserve the excuse. Well, gee, we need QE3, and so please come to our rescue, and that will make everybody happy. Because all these dolts in Congress can get reelected, or at least that's what they hope. And who knows whether they'll extend the debt. I mean, they're talking in terms of not from August the 2nd to, say, the middle of October. They want to go to December with it. This is a game, and we don't know the game plan yet. But this is well strategized, and we're talking about political theater. And yes, that's part of it, but there's some very much more deeper meaning to all of this. And we're going to find that out along the way. I don't quite have the answer yet, but the government can operate. They don't need infusions. They have income coming in, and they can borrow from the pension plans of federal employees, Social Security, Medicare, and maybe other things as well. So telling people that checks going out from the government are going to stop, there's just lots of them, thousands and thousands of them.
What I find,
And that is not necessary. They've caught the president, and this is so shameful, just in the last 2 months, lying so many times, it's incredible. And he gets caught. I mean, that's dumber than dumb.
Well, and I'm looking at the latest information now. Evidently, there's a new emerging House bill since President Sartoro didn't like either one. This, according to an aide familiar with the emerging bill, it would provide for an immediate $1 trillion increase in the government's $14.3 trillion debt limit in exchange for $1.2 trillion in cuts. Now, so Harry Reid on the other side of the aisle says, okay, well, we're working on our own fallback bill here. And they're saying that they would cut $2.7 trillion in federal spending and raise the debt limit by $2.4 trillion in one step. Now,
well, Moody's came out and said it doesn't matter which plan they ultimately get, they still U.S. credit rating still going to be downgraded.
Well, and it is. I mean, just take a look at the economic structure out there that we have right now. We're up to our eyeballs and choking with debt. We are in the middle of a damn depression. We've got better than 22% of the labor force in this country right now, legal and illegal, out of work. But I think we're the 22% is just counting the legal ones. So how many more percentage points is that for illegals that have lost their jobs due to the economic environment and, of course, not replaced with kids or minimum wage workers?
Well, Obama was talking to La Raza yesterday. He said unemployment is much more dire amongst the Hispanic community.
Yeah. Well,
you mean the illegal alien community?
That's what he's
saying.
Well,
he was in, I think it was Las Vegas. They had a La Raza meeting.
Well, and guess who is doing Sanctuary City Chicago style? Rahm Emanuel.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's instituting his own little dream act for Illinois. You know, folks, Bob,
wait a minute. Is he going to give memberships to them all who are coming there to be sanctuaried in the bathhouses he frequents?
Well, we don't talk about his. You see, in politics anymore, a person's aberrant behavior, sexual behavior, Bob, has nothing to do with his ability to fill his official function. Where have you been? Uncle Bill Clinton told us that years ago, remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong.
No, he didn't. And it all depends on what is. Now,
is that a flight from reality or something like that?
Well, it's bouncing around in your own self-created little realm that has little or nothing to do with reality. And the reality of the situation here in the States is simply this. We've shipped all the jobs out, all the manufacturing. We have had the government making it absolutely miserable for new businesses to start or existing businesses to hire anybody. They're choking on all sorts of government regulations. In the meantime, competing with people overseas that a nickel is like a dollar to them, and they have no regulations. So everything's cheaper, and Americans keep buying the crap up.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
And a dual citizenship man that is now occupying the mayor's chair in Chicago, Illinois, Mr. Rahm Emanuel, said on Tuesday, announced the creation of the Office of New Americans to provide support for Chicago's immigrant communities. And by the way, strengthen their contributions to the city's economic, civic, and cultural life. Okay. He says, I want to make Chicago the most immigrant-friendly city in the world. And he says, in addition, this little program, this is to facilitate the establishment of businesses owned by immigrant businessmen and entrepreneurs, kind of like party stores and hotels in this country, I guess. I don't know. They're saying that the Chicago Public Schools, whose 400,000-strong student body is roughly 40% Hispanic, yippee. I can't wait till they celebrate the white people are the minority in Chicago, which give that one generation, and that will happen. And I will not give you tawdry little jokes about them fornicating like rabbits. In addition, the new mayor confirmed the support for the DREAM Act of Illinois, which would allow private funding to be provided for undocumented students so they can attend college. You know, this is really fascinating to me, guys. They're, and I don't know where the hell the Americans are at here. They're losing their jobs.
John, this has been going on for years. I know people who graduated from state universities, particularly in California, who at best had 80 IQs, and they were graduating from state universities. It's pathetic. And they come out with a degree and they don't know anything. And they shouldn't be in there in the first place.
Well,
they should be teaching something else.
Well, does that mean, though, that they're once they graduate from college, from some entrepreneur or somebody's, fund from someplace, they're going to be in the job market competing with Americans? You know,
Well, that's true, but and they're going to get jobs simply because they are minorities, and that's wrong. For them and for the economy and for the individual that loses the opportunity for a job to someone in that position. What they're trying to do is break down the social structure, break down what culture there is in America. It's an amalgamation process. They tried to do the same thing in Europe with the European Union, and it didn't work. I was doing a program this morning in Athens, and I'll be doing another one next week, and we get into that, and I said, look, this is an anthropological mistake. It leads to chaos, revolution, civil war, you name it, you got it. And that's exactly where Europe is headed. I did another interview in Rio de Janeiro this morning. I had to come across with the same thing. That interview was with the largest magazine in the country. And what are we talking about here? The destruction of the structure of culture and society in every country, the breaking down and ripping apart of the cohesion in society, and you do that by forcing either religious groups or we call the minority groups into the population. My daughter teaches school, 23 kids in the class, 20 of them are failing, no matter what she does. Now, they are Latinos and Latinas and people from Jamaica and Haiti and goodness knows where.
Wonderful.
But they can't compete. They will never be able to compete. And that's why we've had the dumbing down process so that our children, native children we'll call them, that they will be at relatively the same level as these other people who were not gifted with intellectual gifts. And this is the way it's going, not only in America. It's happened in Canada. It's not happening in Latin America because they don't have infusion of migration. In Europe, it's tearing the place apart. And what it is a great abnormality, you could call it culture distortion. That probably summates the whole thing. And it's all going to come to no good end. The bankers think they can control it, and I get news for them.
I don't know.
They're going to be the first ones killed, I'll tell you.
Because everybody knows
who the bad guys are.
I don't think that they really are intent on controlling anything. Because what they want is chaos to reign. They want
yep.
the countries to culturally break down. They want them broke so they can go in and re-engineer the world the way they want it. Now, that could include population reduction. I don't know where our people... You know what's scary to me, Bob? And I've been thinking a lot about this lately, is how dependent Americans on the Matrix have become. That when it's time for the harvest, they run down to their local HEB or AMP store. For them, that's like working in the fields of yesteryear's history in this country. We were more independent. We knew how to grow our own stuff. We knew how to do preserves. We knew how to put stuff up. We knew how to provide for ourselves. And grocery stores at the time were kind of like an add-on for a little bit more variety. Now it's the mainstay for most Americans. What do you think is going to happen to most Americans when the economy goes belly up? Yeah, they're not going to be eating, and the government's not going to be there with food stamps or soup kitchens.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
You know, just some days, a little bit more injury is just too much insult. And this is one of these situations. J.P. Morgan's food stamp monopoly. The more Americans that fall into poverty, the more money Jamie Dimon makes. Now, this is an ironic twist, and there's more to the story than just doing food stamps. J.P. Morgan is getting rich off of poverty. J.P. Morgan is the largest processor of food stamp benefits in the United States. They have contracted to provide food stamp debit cards to 26 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. J.P. Morgan is paid for each case that it handles, so that means the more Americans that go on food stamps, the more profits J.P. Morgan makes. Yeah, when the number of Americans on food stamps go up, J.P. Morgan makes more money. Now, but that doesn't give J.P. Morgan an incentive, or does it, to keep the number of Americans enrolled on food stamp programs as high as possible? There's just a little too much creepiness in this outsourcing of private corporations. Now, the J.P. Morgan executive, in an interview, tried to put his best spin on stuff, but it didn't really come off. In an interview, this guy, Patton, says that 40% of food stamp recipients are currently working, and he seems convinced that there would be further growth in that segment. Now, I'm a little confused about this, because what they're doing is they're outsourcing, J.P. Morgan is outsourcing phone centers to places like India. Now, imagine this, folks. The banks got us into this mess. You're unemployed. You're calling about a food stamp, or they even have debit cards now for payment of child support. Imagine the irony here. A formerly middle-class American that has lost his job to outsourcing calls up to get help with food stamp benefits only to be answered by a call center employee in India. How twisted is this? And apparently, I mean, they're so busy, guys on the Hill battling for budget and trying to balance things out. Well, let's take a quick look back down memory lane of how well they've been handling things. Back in 1970, are you guys sitting down? Because I had to read this three times to make sure I read it correctly. Back in 1970, the national debt was $370 billion. That's billion with a B. Now, and nearly tripled to $907 billion. It took 10 years to get to a $907 billion deficit. Gold was trading at $38.90 in 1970, yet climbed to a high of $850 in 1980, over a 20-fold increase. And you remember what happened in 79 and 80? The bankers announced that they had to cool off inflation, so they jacked the interest rates up to some ungodly amount, past 20%. Now, guys, we're talking about trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. What the hell have they spent money on in the last 40 flipping years that made our lives so great to get us into this amount of debt? Now, notice the timing on this. Who did we have in? We had LBJ that decided he wasn't going to run for another reelection because, you know what, after Kennedy was shot up, he did his dirty deeds. He got the war in Vietnam going to satisfy the military-industrial complex and the payola there. And also, he was the second part of Franklin Delano, really was a communist, Roosevelt. He was the second part of the New Deal. Guess what came in the 60s, folks? Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, but that wasn't where the spending came. You know, since the founding of America up until the Reagan administration was the first $1 trillion in debt.
Well, he tripled the debt when he came into office.
So from Reagan to Bush 2, it went from $1 trillion to $14 trillion. Think about that.
Well, and we got Barry, whatever the hell he is, sitting in the White House right now. And where are we going now? Now we have irresponsible people sitting on Capitol Hill that don't have the political courage. And this is what I don't understand. Social Security can be done away with. Medicare can be done away with. Medicaid, Medicare, all of that crap can be done away with. We put it in, we can take it back out. Now, they can make this as painless as possible by not taking on or collecting funds. And, of course, this is going to be really uncomfortable for politicians because they need the people to keep paying in to pay for the people standing at the head of the line when, in reality, you're really at the back of the line. By the time you get up at the head of the line, there might not be a program there. But my point is to cut these damn programs off. Today is the day. No more Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security. We're not going to take on any more recipients. We're not going to take any more money. We're going to deal with the debt to phase this program out, and we're going to have done with it. Why in God's name do these people keep pandering? Because, Bob, right at the top of the program, we were talking about our Congress critters and the budget falderall that they're sitting there playing politics with. Oh, well, we have to raise the debt limit, but we're going to cut this much. Yeah, we're going to, in order to do cuts, we're going to do increases. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Orwell. But here was my point, and I wanted to bring it out when that discussion was going on. We need to get rid of these damned programs, period. But they're not doing it. They don't have the political courage. Bob, this must have crossed your mind more than once. Why the hell do they keep going with failed programs? that they know they can't control.
I think it's a control factor. And they don't care whether they can totally control it. If partial control is good enough. It's part of the corporatist fascist state. And it is to eventually get everyone dependent at some level. And when you've got that, then you can do with the people that you want. And the useless eaters and the people who won't be allowed to breed will be done away with. And then eventually the programs will be phased out. But there's a reason for those fascistic socialist programs. And that's why they're pursuing them, particularly at this time. They're obviously not ready to roll the thing over into a world government as yet. The people are not destitute enough yet, but they'll get there.
So you're...
And that's why this whole thing takes so long, because it's a process. And, you know, they get people working 24-7. They spend trillions of dollars every year on these think tanks, and they come up with these conclusions, and this is what they're supposed to do, and they go ahead and do it, all leading toward this goal of enslaving the world.
Well, and it does give them control. It does give them political control, because we've seen it in every election cycle, whether it's for the senators or Congress critters or the presidency, whatever. It's always the same old crap, that they scare the hell out of people that are retired, sitting around watching C-SPAN, thinking they know what's really going on, when in reality they don't, and their brain power is lessening over the years. So they're sitting there absorbing all this political claptrap and going into the voting booths every election cycle to poll for their favorite party. I mean, it is so damn, you can't get through to these people, because the first thing out of their mouth is, my God, I can't live without my Social Security. I can't live without my Medicaid and Medicare. You can't live with it now. And we can't keep paying into it. This is why I'm suggesting that we come up with a dollar amount to pay these people off through this system and then have done with it. I mean, did everybody hear me here? In 1970, we had $370 billion as a budget deficit in Washington, D.C. $370 billion? Hell, that's chump change, man. That's tip change nowadays. But nobody has the political fortitude to say, wait a minute. We've screwed the pooch on this. We have done exactly the opposite of what we promised to the American people. We have got them amassed in debt, and they won't be honest with us, that we will never get out of. They've shipped the jobs overseas. They've destroyed business in this country through regulation. They've amassed trillions and trillions of dollars worth of debt. And I don't see people coming down the road right now with pitchforks and flames. They're all sitting back in their air-conditioned houses going, oh, well, maybe it'll be better next year. My God in heaven, what does a house have to drop on people to wake up?
Well, look at the good news that's out there.
What?
I said, well, look at the good news that's out there.
It hit me with some good news that's going to take me out of this funk that I find myself in right now.
The football strike is over.
Hell, I knew there was a positive spin to all this crap.
I swear, people were more, and I'm not kidding you about this, people were more concerned about the football strike than they were concerned about the arguments about raising the debt ceiling. I've forgotten who did the survey. I think it was on CNBC. They ran this, they have these morning surveys, and they asked, are you more concerned about raising the debt ceiling or the ending of the football strike? And I swear to God, the percentage of people that voted in that poll said they were more concerned about the football strike ending. And right. I guess that's the commentary on.
Well,
where people's priorities are.
Well, hey, Robbie, now come on. There's more silver lining to this dark cloud here, because there was a union involved and there was ownership, the corporate people out there that, you know, do the NFL corporate logo thing. They finally got together after 5.5 months, and they came to an agreement. After all, there was $9 billion on the table up for grabs for the next 10 years. They got 55%. The football players got 45% of it. It used to be a 50-50 split. But at least they got a budget agreement or payouts. They did a contract and got on with it. And people, I swear to God, guys, the controlled media is more effective than I ever gave it credit. Because we should be amassing in large crowds in Washington, D.C. You know, Robbie, was it you that said a little bit earlier that about impeaching Obama? Well, hell, there was that talk about George Bush. There was that talk about Bill Clinton. There was that talk about Tricky Dick. Ronald Reagan, he was asleep. I'm sure he probably didn't hear the calls for his impeachment. But this is the solution in people's minds. They don't go to the root of the problem. These are just figureheads, folks. We're voting in. It's the CEO of the United States Corporation. That's all that Oval Office is. Of course, they have the ability to kill millions of people and maybe even you if you step out of line. We understand the militaristic threat coming out of them to all people globally. And now Americans are finding out that it's a threat against us as well. But my God in heaven, what are people waiting for? Have they gotten that conditioned that the stranglehold from the Fed on the states and the absolute perversion and popping the Constitution inside out and then laughing in our faces about it? This is the new normal? Are you people? I don't know. Do you deserve a free country? Who the hell is out there anymore?
The 50% that are functionally illiterate in our country.
Maybe I just ought to learn Mandarin Chinese and Spanish and go live in Chicago.
Well, the Republicans also, they want to add this, add a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, they think that somehow that's going to be the magic bullet.
Well, Robbie, this game has been played before. That is the opening salvo on what? A constitutional convention.
Yep.
And that is one thing for the past 20 years, every time that scenario pops its ugly little head out of the little hole, we beat it back down. And the last time that they dreamed this little thing up, they thought they were doing it very covertly and secretly down in Florida. Well, we found out about it, put it on the airwaves. Guess what? Their statement was, how in the hell did they find out about it? Now, it's not bad enough that our form of government in this country has been flipped. It's not bad enough that you're 14th Amendment citizens with no rights. You're a corporate citizen. You're just a functionary for the debt. Now they're talking about really changing things. If you think things are bad right now, let these compromised scumbags behind closed doors figuring out new ways to screw you. I don't even perish the thought. I don't even want to give it that much consideration. So when they're talking about amendments to the Constitution, that takes a constitutional convention to do, and Katie, bar the door and grab your rifle. Let's go to the phones here. Henry in Connecticut, you're first up.
Okay, hi. Hi. There's something I wanted to say, and then secondly, I have a question for Robert Chapman. This is something I have to say that I haven't mentioned ever before on this program. 32-year-old suspect Anders Breivik, V-I-K, of Norway.
Yeah.
Him. Let me just say this. I'll make it quick. What I think he did was stupid, okay? He took it out. He's just spraying bullets like somebody spraying bubbles, in a park when you're a kid with the soap and making the bubbles all over the place.
Get to the point.
Right. He didn't go after the government officials who were, some of them, who were behind some of this crap. Mm-hmm. But he published on his line about against the Muslim immigration in Europe.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff. And he vowed vengeance on his own indigenous Europeans, which I think is stupid. And I think what he did is stupid. I think what he did is evil. But I agree, not with what he did, but I can understand, you know, his animosity and his feeling.
You know what I find more amazing, Henry?
What?
Is the little amount that's being paid attention on the mainstream media to this.
Oh, yes. That's,
I mean,
true.
It's like it was a news story one day, a little brief follow-up, a little bit more color, a little bit more fill-in the next day, and then poof,
right.
It's gone.
Well, let's see what they're going to do when he's in court, because he says that he's going to spout why he did this and everything. The other thing is the BBC did cover it a little bit. They did say he had animosity toward that.
That's British broadcasting. That's not CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS. You know the drill.
Right, but the BBC is just disgusting, although they do give some good information sometimes, but they are just as disgusting with their racial political correctness as anything in America.
Well, and
I hear them every night.
Yeah, I understand. Now, your question.
All right, I have a question with Chapman. This thing that's going on in Germany, I read the International Herald Tribune. Another thing.
Henry, get to the question.
Okay. What is the situation is now? They're trying to see if they can get Germany and the Netherlands to bail out Greece again. Now, I know there's no way Greece, it's not going to work. Now, what is going to be the situation here? I mean, as far as what you hear from the German side or the Dutch side or any of them?
Bob?
Mrs. Merkel, I think, went a bridge too far. She just saw 3 months ago the heinous losses that were taken by the CDU, the Christian Democratic Union, and this all but means the end of the CDU in power, and she went right ahead and made a deal anyway. She thought the saving factor that would offset the deal was bringing the bankers in and making them pick up 21% of the losses. And, of course, they caused all the losses. And so the German people and many from the Netherlands, who incidentally pick up this program, I was told by somebody from the Netherlands the other day that the programs that I'm on, they pick up, but they don't know me other than the programs. And they are deeply disturbed, and they are really on the edge in Germany of anarchy. And this is going to go a long way. The Illuminist think tanks in Europe have made a terrible mistake here. And the Greeks and the other five countries are wallowing around try to figure out what to do. They're in a state of confusion. I know I just got off the radio at 7 o'clock this morning with Athens, and they want me to come back because they want to discuss it further. And they just don't know what to do. And I told them, you know, up front, and I told you this a year and a half ago on the same station, which is the biggest in the country, default, go back to the drachma, have it 50% cheaper than the euro, start an austerity program that goes out 5 to 10 years. Make sure you collect everybody's taxes. And in 5 to 10 years, you'll be over this. If you don't do that, and they are able to bail you out, what's going to happen is you're going to live in desperate poverty and depression for 50 years.
Did they take callers on that radio program?
No.
What was the response from the host? When you made that statement?
Well, the host has heard me several times.
Yeah.
Because I've been on the radio there and television and been interviewed by the largest newspaper there as well, three times or so. And so they know all where I'm coming from, and they don't invite me unless, you know, they want to hear what I've got to say, the basics, which they know already, and then what do I think is going to happen in the future.
Well, everybody is in stasis. Right now, the situation is just sitting there. And it's not being addressed in a sane fashion. It's more insanity, more austerity. And I think you're right, Bob, when you said this is just a little stall here in this country right now to demonstrate that, well, we're not out of the woods yet, and you know what, we are going to need a QE3. Well, everybody on this damn planet knew that. Everybody knew that because we see the amount of debt that there is. We see where the money has gone. And we know what has to be, well, let me put it to you this way. We know what they believe they must do. Now, would it be harder to let these too big to fail institutions go under and then dig out from it? Or is it our death sentence to keep trying to buy the toxic assets or balance the bankers' books? Now, I think we know the answer to that question. But evidently they don't in Washington, D.C., Bob. And these governors that are sitting here staring at their budget deficits, and I mean they're huge. Meanwhile, their infrastructure is crumbling. They're not going to have any funds to bring anything back up to speed in the foreseeable future. And we're talking years down the road. They know that next year is going to be worse than this year. There's going to be more foreclosures on homes and businesses and more debt piling up. And they're sitting there doing nothing. What the hell has happened to America? We've been covering this for how long? I am still...
Yeah, but there's a reason for that.
What's
and
the reason?
Go back to the premise, and the premise is very simple. They want destruction.
Well, that's what they
whether
want.
Whether it's quick or whether it's slow.
That's what they want, but what about the American people that are on the crappy end of the stick?
Yeah, but they can't do anything because their Congress has been bought and paid for. So you're not going to get any respite through the system, legally. And there's another aspect I want to bring in here that nobody else has talked about anywhere. There is a covert, strong effort by the elitists in the United States to undermine Europe, above and beyond their relationship. Because they don't want any kind of a chance that the euro would supplant the dollar internationally, nor the SDR. And that's very, very, very important to them because they can't keep on looting, stealing, incarcerating, and then eventually enslaving. They want to do it their way. And they are at odds with the Illuminists in Europe. And I don't know how well aware the European Illuminists are that this is going on. But that's what they're undermining them. And I brought that out in that broadcast, and I continue to bring it out. Because nobody's talking about it. And I think that's what they're up to on a short-term basis.
All right. Robbie, I'm not going to put you through a four-hour marathon here.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate you joining us for this hour. And I know where you're going right now, so go enjoy yourself.
Thanks, brother. Next Tuesday will be fun. It's D-Day.
Ah. Oh, that's right. That's going to be August 2nd, isn't it?
That'll be.
We'll be on the air right when market is closing, and we get to see what happens. More political drama that adds up to absolutely nothing. Thank you, Robbie. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Bob, stand by. Second hour of the National Intel coming up. Report coming up. I'll get my words right. And with your calls right after the top of the hour break.
Gold ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom?